Okay, we're going to start 6 lines down on Nun Hey Amud Aleph. We have Shaal Agrippus Tsartzva et Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Rashi claims that Agrippus Tsartzva means that he was an Obi Chachavim Munel Roshay Gaisot, Ubimei Agrippus Amelechaya. So this is the Tsartzva of Agrippus. And he was a non Jewish general. And Shaal Agrippus Tsartzva et Rabbi Gamliel. Ktiv Bitoratchem. Which is the same at the end of yesterday's daf, also a similar type of question. One only becomes jealous if they are peers, or if there's something to be jealous of. Why, if there's such a big gap between a Kodesh Baruch Hu and mankind, would Hashem ever be jealous, right, of the fact that they are worshipping Avodah Zarah? If there's such a big gap between Hashem and Avodah Zarah, why is he getting so jealous? A man married a second wife. If the second wife is more important, if she's not so jealous, she understands why her husband went for the upgrade. On the other hand, if she's not of the same stature, she's of lower stature, then she is mitkanaba because she says, what are you doing? You have me. Why are you going after someone of lesser stature? I don't understand that. If it's an upgrade, that's fine. But if you're going to downgrade, I don't understand why you would take a second wife. That's a downgrade. So the same thing over here. When the Bnei Israel exchange a Kodesh Baruch Hu for the Avodah Zarah, Hashem says, look, if you're going to replace me, at least do it with something that's equivalent, which obviously there isn't a such thing. So if you're going to replace me with this Avodah Zarah, that's when Hashem gets upset. I mean, why would you trade down to Avodah Zarah? And we see that in the Nevi'im all the time, how they're describing Bnei Israel, what the, you know, they believe in this Eitz Ve'Even, and they're going to trust them, and when are they going to come to help you when times are bad? It's not going to be there. You're training the Mekor Maim Chayim, or the Avodah Zarah. Samarlai Zonin the Rabbi Akiva. So Zonin said to Rabbi Akiva, this is a Jew, this is Rabbi Akiva, Libi, V'libcha Yada, Davodach Chvim Let Be Mashasha. That we know that there's nothing to Avodah Zarah. But, V'hakach Hazinon, but we see, Gavrei the Azle, these people go, Kimidvare, when they're sick and broken, meaning that they're lame or somehow there's something wrong with them, Batu Kimitzvade, and they're cured after they go to the Avodah Zarah. So we see that, you know, they have these big evangelical meetings where they cure everybody that's there. So what is this? How come they go to the Avodah Zarah and also they're cured? So my time, it's a person who is a trustworthy individual in the city. Everybody would entrust their possessions with him, or if they wanted to put something in deposit, they would leave it with him because he was trustworthy. They never brought witnesses to that fact because they were so trustworthy. Another one in time, an individual came and did it with Eidim. So even though everybody else in the world trusted him, this one person said, I want to do it with Eidim. This individual who was always makpid to bring Eidim, this time he didn't bring Eidim. He forgot to bring Eidim. His wife says, alright, why don't we deny the claim now? Because he always brings Eidim. If we deny it now, now he won't be able to say anything because he normally puts it with Eidim. Now there are no Eidim. Just because this individual acted inappropriately, we're going to lose our trustworthiness, right? Our ability to be considered people of emet, people who are always ne'eman. So, afkach yisurim mishash mishagrim otol adam. When it comes to yisurim that are sent to a person, mashbin otan shlo telchu al biyom ploni v'lo titzu al biyom ploni. Yisurim come, they have to take a shvu'ah before they go and they affect the individual, that they will go in on this day and they will leave on this day. It's exact what it is. Psha plonit v'yidei ploni. And it will be at this moment and on this, by this person, v'yidei sam ploni, by this medication or this solution. Kevin shigyaz manam latzeit. So at that moment, when they have to go out, they took a shavua, they're going to leave on such and such a day, at such and such a time, they have to leave. Happens to be that that individual, right at that moment, he happens to be sitting, going to the Beit of Arizara on that day. Amru, Yisrim dinu shalom etzei. Yisrim say, well, we shouldn't go out, because it's going to look really bad. But then they go back and say, Just because he's acting inappropriately, we're going to breach the shua, the oath that we took, that we're going to leave at that moment. That's the same thing as the person who was Naaman to his wife. Just because the other person acted inappropriately, it doesn't mean that we should take advantage of the situation. Doesn't mean that we should lose our trustworthiness. So the Isserim say, just because this person didn't act appropriately, doesn't mean we should breach or give up the shua that we took, that we have to leave at that moment. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Why are they ra'im and ne'manim? Why would you talk about sickness that is, understand sickness that is ra, that makes sense. But sickness that's ne'man, why is it ne'man? So ra'im bishlichutan, and they're awful when they come, v'ne'manim bishuatam, but they are trustworthy in their shua, meaning that they go and they go and they leave exactly based on when they were told to. So Amalei Rava bar Rav Yitzchak the Rav Yehuda, ha'ika beit avod chavim ba'atrin. There's this place, there's this beit avod zara in our city. Whenever the world needs rain, they get a dream. I don't know if it's one of the Qumrim or one of the worshippers that gets a dream. In the dream it says, Shechtuli Gabra. Shecht a person to me. I mean, have a human sacrifice to me. And that will cause the rain to come. Shechtula Gabra. They go ahead. They give it a human sacrifice. And sure enough, the rain shows up. So Rav Yehuda responds to Rav Bar Yitzchak, he says, listen, if I was dead now, I wouldn't be able to tell you over this Dvar Torah. But now that I'm alive, you're lucky that I'm here, now I can tell you this Dvar Torah. Dama Rav, says Rav Yehuda, quoting from his Rebbe Rav, Dama Rav, Maidichtiv, Asher Chalak Hashem Elkech Otam L'chol Amim. What does that mean? That he separated them out for the rest of the nations. He's talking about the constellations. So Malamed Shechlikam Bidvarim, Kedei L'Tordam In Olam. He causes them to slip up with these items in order to eliminate them from the world. I mean, Hashem allows them to fall after or go after these Avodah Zarah or these problem make mistakes about the Avodah Zarah in order to punish them or to have them leave the world without that mitzvah, without merits. Behind the Amar Reish Lakish, my dechtiv im leitzim hu yalitz unavim yitain chayim balutamei putchim lo. Person wants to go in a derech of tuma, Hashem opens the door and lets him go that way. But the taher, person wants to come to return, be mitaher himself, wants to purify himself, wants to come to kosher baruch hu misayinoto. Over there, they help him. So it's very interesting. The difference in the lashon is very interesting, which is balatamei. For the ones who go batamei, just potchim lo. They just open the door. They're not messiah. They just let you have the option to go. Other balatahir, you get siyata dishmaya. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a help to you and gives you a push to come in that direction. It's a little bit based in the Gemara and Sukkah, which says that without a Kadosh Baruch Hu, without the Torah, we wouldn't be able to fight the Yetzer Hara. But that's all it takes. Balatahir, just you want to have to come, you want to be mitahir, Hashem will help you to be mitahir in that instance. One thing I just quickly wanted to address here, I just do it as an aside, is this whole idea that Avodah Zarah, for instance, over here, in a dream, they had a dream, that bring a human sacrifice and the rain will come. So, does the Avodah Zarah really have power? Why do they get dreams like that? Right, so Balak was, or Bilam, or Ovid LaHashem. Bilam was Ovid LaHashem. He brought Korbanot to Hashem. So that's not necessarily a proof that Avodah Zarah. All right, so that's what we were, just quickly. Right, so that was Rashi brings down and the Torah, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that by Perek Chaf Hei, when Abraham gives out matanot, it says Abraham matanot. So he gives him these matanot. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, "Vayit Abraham is called Shelo Yitzchak." My matanot. So I'm Rabbi Yirmiya Ba'abo Melamed Shemasar Lahem Shem Tum'ah. He gave them Shem Tum'ah. And what Rashi says over there is Kishuf U'Maseh Shedim. He gave them sorcery, witchcraft, and Maseh Shedim. So you see that there is such thing as Kochota Tum'ah. This idea that there is some sort of power vested in the Tum'ah, or things that are not necessarily on the way of a Kaddish Baruch Hu that are misleading. And Tosos is even more explicit. Earlier in our Masechta, on Chav Zayin Amud Bet, Tosos quotes about Shedim. He says, Sometimes a shade will come to mislead him. There's sometimes the shadim have the power in order to cause people to sin or to fail. And he says, where's his proof? The command, the parak b'shmol, daf nun heyam adalef. He brings that gemara right here as a proof to the fact that people can be misled by avodah zarah or by shadim. So both from the Tosfos earlier and the Rashi, that Rashi was in Sanhedrin as well as on the Torah, seems that they believe that there were kochot tumah and they were vested with a certain amount of powers, these kochot tumah. Rashi seems to say that they exist and that there's some sort of value to them. Tosfos says that they really only give them the opportunity to trip people up or to cause people failure. Obviously this has some ramifications or repercussions regards to the Bechira Chofshit. How come Hashem? So we have to say, and that's why the Gemara concluded, Balatamei Potchim Lo. You know, these people are not necessarily looking for the right direction. They are going in the wrong direction. And that's what some others say about the dream here. It's not that the dream, this person has a dream. It happens to be that he worships Avodah Zarah. So he interprets the dream to bring a human sacrifice. Right, so the way he interprets it is to bring the human sacrifice to Avodah Zarah. But if he wasn't connected to Avodah Zarah, he would never put the two together. Therefore, it's the individual and not Kodesh Baruch Hu. But we do see these ideas, this concept of Kochota Tuma, and also the concept that person is Balatamei Potchim Lo. So now, next Mishnah. Luchim Gat Bi'uta Min Ha'oi B'Kochavim. One can buy a gat that has been pressed by a non-Jew. Now, pressing in the gat, you can press in the wine press one of two ways. You can press by walking on the grapes. You can stomp on the grapes and press them. Or you can press by putting on a heavy korah and pressing down on the grapes with some sort of instrument that is extremely heavy. They either have a heavy beam or a corkscrew that they push down on, they press down on the grapes. But either way, even if it's a human pressing or if it's a mechanical pressing, if it's done, you can buy the gat, even though it's been pressed by a non-Jew. Even though when it comes to the grapes that are placed into the gat, the Ovi Chachamim himself is physically touching the grapes and placing them into the gat, into the tapuach. The tapuach, which we also have by the mizbeach, by the chumat deshin, the deshin on the mizbeach, they used to make it into a tapuach, which is a big pile into a arima of ash, so to be here. Which means that Pishon Otobi Ado, he's taking the grapes and placing them into tapuach, as into the mound of grapes that are going to be pressed, either by being stomped on or by being pressed upon. So that's okay. Ve'en oseh yayin esech. But it does not become yayin esech. The problem of yayin esech and the goy being in contact with wine, actually read the boar. Until it falls into or goes into the one of two things, again, Rashi says, either there's a kli that sits in a pit that gathers the wine that comes out, or we're talking about a boar. They have a boar that he puts seed in it, and then after it's pressed from the area where the gat is, where they press it, there's a channel that takes the wine out of the gat and pushes it into the, lets it flow into the boar, and they collect it in this cistern, or they collect it in this kli where the wine will be. That has the status of wine in the boar, that collection cistern or the kli, that is a status of yayin. Therefore, the goy touches that, that is yayin nesech. Whereas all the wine that's found, or the grapes that are being pressed up in the gat, they don't have a din of yayin, and therefore when the goy touches, it's not a problem. So you can buy the gat from him without having to worry about yayin nesech. The boar, anything that's in the boar, that is problematic. You're about the boar, once it reaches the boar, mashab boar asur. That what is found in the boar is asur. Vashar mutar. But everything else is mutar. Now what this everything else is not clear. Rashi seems to suggest over here, Mashav Bor Asur, whatever's in the Bor Asur, is by Maga.
When did the goy touch it?
Okay, so that's a good question. That's what Machlokes Rishonim we're about to discuss, which is Rashi believes Mashav Bor Asur is because Im Naga Bo Avoy Kochvei Machreikein. If the goy touches what's in the boar, then Mashav Bor, what the goy touches in the boar, Asur. Rashi does that because of the first half of the Mishnah. First half of the Mishnah says, Av Bishon Otel B'Yadom Natin LaTapuach, Ein Oseh Yayin Esech. Where is it? Oseh Yayin Esech? Where it's in the boar. And Rashi says the same thing, Magat, where he touches it. So Rashi claims the problem here is that he's touching the wine in the boar. That's what makes it Yayin Esech. The implications are, Vashar Mutar, is that if he touches the wine that's found up in the gat, it's not problematic whatsoever. That's Rashi's view. Rashi's view is that what's in the boar, if the goy touches it, is problematic. But if he touches the yayin that's found in the gat, no problem whatsoever. That's not yayin. It's not yayin. That's Rashi's interpretation. On the other hand, on the other extreme, we have the Rashbam. The Rashbam, it's at the end of the, it's the first wide line in Tosos down below. It's the this large Tosos, the Rashbam Perish. Masha Borba Asur, Afilu below Nigiyat Obil Chachavim. That what's in the board is Asur automatically, even without the Goy touching it. Why? How did the wine get to the boar? The goy pressed it up in the gat. So the koach, it's through his pressing, through his koach, that the wine reached the boar. So he doesn't have to physically touch the yain in the boar. The mere fact that it's his koach that brought the yain into the boar, that makes it asur. So you have the Rashbam on the other extreme. The Rashbam says not only is the yain boar asur, he doesn't have to touch it to be asur. As soon as he presses it in the gat, when it flows to the boar, as soon as it reaches the boar, it's asur. Rashi says, no, he has to physically touch it in the boar in order to be right, problematic. But if he touches what's up in the gat, that's not problematic.
How does Rashbam explain Rashbam Mutar?
Bashar Mutar is what's in the gat. The wine, while it's in the gat, is still Mutar, but until it flows down to the boar. So the wine that is in the boar is Mutar. In the gat is Mutar. What's in the boar is Asur, but not that he has to touch anything. Just as long as he pressed it, and then it's problematic. We have somewhat of a middle opinion, which is the Ri. The Ri says that the issue that the Gemara is addressing over here is Nitzok. Nitzok, which is coming up in the Gemara, it's not here today, which is some sort of, is a flow. When you have a continuous flow from one item to the other, it creates a arc, right, that allows possibly for Tumat to flow back and forth. So now what we have here is you're pressing up in the gat, and we have wine flowing from the gat into the boar. So now what's in the boar is problematic, is Yayin Nesech. Now, what about the yain back in the gat? So do we say the nitzok, that the connection, the wine that flows from the gat to the boar, now we have a continuous flow or a connection between what's in the boar and what's up in the gat. Do we say that that's yain nesech or not? So that's what the Mishnah is referring to. Mashir ba'bor, what's in the boar is yain nesech. Bashar mutar, what does it mean the shar mutar?
Don't say
it's not the shar, right, we don't say nitzok. We don't say that it flows back, but the yain nesach then affects the wine all the way back in the gat. Not like Rashi says, oh, even if he touches the stuff in the gat, right, then it's okay. No, we just say that when it's in the boar and he touches what's in the boar, he doesn't affect what's up in the gat at that time period because of the nitzok. We say the nitzok is not problematic. So those are the three opinions about what this last line in the Mishnah means, which is, Yerad Abor, Mashar Babor Asur, Vashar Mutar. Rashi is the most makil, or has the most expansive view, which is that even if you touch what's in the gat, it's not problematic, and you have to touch what's in the boar for it to be problematic. You have the Rashbam, who is the most mitzamtzim, he is the narrows the chiddush of the Mishnah the most, where he says that you have to, what's in the boar is automatically yayin nesach. He doesn't have to touch it. As long as what he pressed in there up the top is, right, flows down to the boar, that's ready from his koach. Whatever's in the boar then is asur. Now what's in the gat is not called yayin, so that's an asur. The Ri has a somewhat in-between opinion, which is he has to touch what's in the boar for it to become yayin nesach. But when he touches it, he doesn't affect what's in the gat. Now, what the Ri thinks about Rashi's opinion... Rashi agrees with that for sure, but Rashi says even further that even if he touches the yain in the gat, it's not problematic. Whether the Ri will agree to that, it's not clear, because the Ri says nami. He uses the word nami. He explains Rashi's sheet, and he says apnami, which means also, nitzok is also not a problem. So I don't know if he means nitzok is not a problem, and maga by the gat is also not a problem, or is he just simply saying nitzok is not a problem, but maga, if he actually touched what's in the gat, maybe that would be problematic. So that's the three opinions here. The other thing is, vashar mutar. What does it mean by shar mutar over here? So Rashi says, the shar is mutar, is a bishkia. There's no isurana. There's no problem here whatsoever. You want shar mutar? Do whatever you want with it. It's yours to do as you please. On the other hand, there were other opinions, like Rab Shemayo, perish mutar bahana. When it says a shar mutar, it means it's mutar bahana, even though you can't drink it. The Rabbi Elchanan challenged that position, and therefore Tosos over here says Kach Nira LeFerish Perish Rashi. He thinks Rashi is right over here that the Shar Mutar means Mutar LeGamrei, that you're allowed to drink it, and not simply that it is Mutar BeHana'ah. Now Dochim Im Aubi Kochavim BeGat. One is allowed to press grapes with a non-Jew in the Gat, in the press. Aval Lo Butzrimo. One may not pick grapes along with him. So now, what is the problem here? we're going to see in a second in the Gemara that the problem is the grom b'tumah the chulin b'eretz Yisrael. One is not permitted, according to the Mishnah, one is not permitted to cause tumah to produce in Eretz Yisrael. So now, if I botzer with him, when I pick the grapes along with the Ovid Kochavim, where are these grapes going to end up? They're going to end up in the Gat, and the Gat is Vadai Tameh. So what am I doing? If I pick the grapes with him, now I am helping out the goy, I'm really goreim tuma. I'm directly going to cause these grapes to end up with tuma. Because as long as, first of all, they're on the tree, they're not mekabel tuma. Even when you are botzer them, at the time that you pick them, they may not be mekabel tuma at that moment until they reach the gat. But you were picking them and going to bring them to the gat, you're causing them to become tamei, and since the dricha is going to make them tamei, you are a part of that process of making them tamei, and therefore we will not permit you to do this or participate in it. On the other hand, dochim imo bagat, we do allow you to press with him in the gat. Wait a minute. We just said the whole problem with the gat is that once you press them in the gat, they're tamei. So Rashi over here explains, and Tosa seconds this, that when we're talking about the dricha here, it means at the end of the process of pressing. You may not be there at the beginning of the pressing process, because that's the moment when it all becomes tamei. That the goy has to do. But once the goy has already started to press, and it's all tamei, you're not adding anything. You're not doing anything more. Now Rashi makes a comment over here, it's a very important comment, because we'll see that there are others who disagree, which is Rashi, it's the last three lines on Nun Hayom and Aleph and Rashi, it says, Umishum, what about Misayeya Yidei Ovrei Aveira? But over here, okay, the goy already started to press it and make it Tameh. So right, he Lifnei Iver, there is no such thing here, because he did it himself, he already made it Tameh. But you're joining him now is, you're helping him to create more and more Tumah, to expand the Tumah that's there. So that's what Rashi says. Meshum seyad v'yirei leka shovei chovim lo nitzdavei al kach. The goy has no iser
to make wine.
To make the wine tameh. It's only you have that problem, or another Jew has that problem, but not the goy. So over here, there's no problem. Meshum seyad v'yirei leka. There's no problem because the goy is not nitzdavei. Had the goy been nitzdavei, what would the Rashi say? There is such a concept of misayeya the ovrei avera. Now, why is that interesting? That is interesting. So when it comes to lifnei iver lo titen michshol, by lifnei here there's no michshol, but lifnei iver lo titen michshol, the Gemara explicitly said earlier that it applies to a ben noach. Not only is there a requirement not to be violate lifnei iver when it comes to a Jew, you can't cause him to do an aveira. You also may not cause a goy to do an aveira. There's a iser of lifnei iver lo titen michshol. That is an iser min haTorah, an iser min d'oraita, to cause others to sin. But that's only when, and the Gemara qualified this here, is trei evrei denaro, when it was impossible for him to do it without you, that you actually facilitated the ability to do the aveira, that's called lifnei iver lo titen michshol. On the other hand, misayeya lo ovrei aveira is generally used, we had the Tosfos in the beginning of Shabbos uses it in that way, and we're going to see in a second in Shulchan Aruch, that's an iser d'rabbanan. When there is no lifnei iver lo titen michshol, for whatever reason, either because you're not really, the person could have done it without you, or because it's not, we're dealing with a din d'rabbanan, not a din d'oraisa. So that is called misayeya lo ovrei aveira, a din d'rabbanan. So Rashi over here seems to indicate that the application of this d'rabbanan applies even to a ben noach. That not only are you chayav for lifnei iver l'titei michshol when it comes to a ben noach, but even if there's no lifnei iver, there's still a misayeya lo ovrei aveira, an iser. Over here, there is no iser because he's not chayav in it. But had the goy been chayav in keeping tumah, then you would have been in violation of misayeya lo ovrei aveira, which is a din d'rabbanan. That's not clear. So I'll read you here, the Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Akiva Eiger points you to the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, which is quoting our mission, the first mission in Tziyot, first mission in the Masechet Shabbos. Min haTorah, in echayav elo ba'oker chayfetz mirshut yachid, v'nichol b'shirut ha'imim, o yipcha. You have to do akira, v'anacha, from the different domains, from mirshut yachid v'shirabim, to be chayav. Aval pashat yadol bifnim, v'chayfetz b'yadol. If he takes the item from mirshut ha'imim, he passes it inside, but he doesn't put it down. V'natal chaveiro, but his friend takes it out of his hand, and then puts it down in mirshut yachid. Or the other way around. Patat lechutz, one inside puts it out, and the chavis v'edo, and atal chaviro, and lechutz, and he puts it out. Sheze akar v'ze aniach. Each one of them is doing half of the melacha. One is doing the akira, one's doing the anacha. Shnehem turim. That's what the Mishnah in Shabbos says. What do we know about patur means? Patur aval asur, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Aval asur lasot kein mi de rabbanan. Not allowed to do this, mi rabbanan. And here the Magen Avraham commenting on this Shulchan Aruch says, the kavar mishum lifnei iver lo titen michshol. He's violating the Umunach Lofin, Shimer Shaloya be Adullah Kholasotadze. He's in violation of Jnaivir if he couldn't have done it without the other individual. Now, if the other individual could have done it without him, Mikom Makom, Isr Drabon and Ika. There's still an Isr Drabon here because of the problem of Misayeya the Ovrei Abeira. And then the Magen Avraham makes the statement, which is what is important to us. Venerally, Dula Akum Leka Isr Lisayeya Bemidir Asurlo. There is no problem Misayeya the Ovrei when it comes to a non-Jew. Kagom, Eivir Minachai. If in Eivir Minachai, if you are the facilitator, you give him Eivir Minachai to eat, and without you, he would not have been able to eat it, that's the Fnei Iver, Lo Titen Michshol. On the other hand, if he could have gotten it without you, and you're just helping him along over here, there's no violation, there's no Isur Darabonon of the Misayeya, the Ovrei Aveira. So Magen Avraham disagrees, and then he says, he quotes a number of Rishonim, and then he says, about our Gemara, he says, Rashi seems to imply, other words, that when it comes to Misayeya Levira, it has application even by a goy. So you have a machlokas rishonim here. It's a very important machlokas rishonim. Whether it's only an Isra deraisa lifnei iver lo titen michshol by a goy, and therefore when you're the facilitator, without you couldn't have done it, are you chayav? Or is there also the additional Isra derabonon of Misayeya Levira? Does that also apply to a goy? So does that apply or not apply? Rashi says, yes, it does apply. The Magen Avraham and Shulchan Aruch says he doesn't think it applies, and he quotes other Rishonim like the Ran and the Tosafot and other places that seem to agree with that position that there is no Masayeh Oveira when it comes to an Oved Chochavim. Alright, now the Mishnah continues. Aval, one is not permitted when it comes to an to be Botzerah him, when it comes to Israel, Shuose Betumah, an Israel that's doing Betumah, not only may you not be Botzer with him, but you're not allowed to be Dorech with him. Lo dorchim velo botzrimimo. You can't pick with him and you can't be dorech with him. Why? So let's say what Rashi said before. Rashi says the reason you can't pick with the Obed Kochavim is because then he's going to end up in the Gat and you're making it, you're gorim tuma to chulin and Eretz Yisrael. You can press with him because the goy already started the pressing process. The stuff's already tamei. So when you go in there, all you're doing is helping him out. Ah, the goy's not nitzav on tuma, so you're not a problem with Sayyid Oveira. But when it comes to a Jew is nitzav not to be mitamei. So not only is it a problem with Botzer, but it's also a problem when you are Dorech with him. Why? Because now you are Misayeya, the Ovrei Aveira. Because the Jew is Nitzdavet to keep it Tahor. Now he's doing Metameyit. And if you go and help him and aid him with that, then you're also Misayeya Aveira. So therefore, the conclusion of the Mishnah is, by Yisrael, lo Dorechim velo Botzerimimo.
Yes, I understand. So,
because you're still helping him now, you're increasing it, you're making more wine come out. It is Tameh, you're right, and it's inevitable now, it's all Tameh, because what's in the gut is already Tameh. But you are Messiah now, you're helping him press the grapes and making stuff more and more Tameh.
The good doesn't have an Easter.
Doesn't have an Easter, so there's no Messiah, the Ovrei Aveira. Now, Aval, but one may do when the Jew, Molichim El Chaviot the gut, you can bring barrels to the gut which are tamei, which you know that eventually they're going to fill the wine into them and it's going to make the wine tamei. Or maybe any moment a gut, or also to take the wine away from the gut, the barrels, once they are ready tamei, you can carry it away because over there you're not doing anything, you're not directly contributing to the tuma, or number two is you're not helping him because first of all, once he's derech in the gut, it's ready tamei. So bringing the tamei barrels is not going to change the situation whatsoever. And also, once it's tamei, taking it in the barrel somewhere else is also have no effect on the tuma aspect of it. So that's not a problem that you can work or can do. Now the mission continues. Nachtom shuase bituma, a baker who does it bituma lo lashin v'lo rechimimo. One may not knead the dough with him, and one may not place the dough out on the pallets that they used to use, or these pieces of wood where they baked it on. Aval, but he may molichimimo lo pat leplatar. He may take the bread over to a platar. Now, paltar. Rashi over here says that a paltar over here is shofet apat. The person actually bakes the bread. Meaning that one cannot be in the process involved with the dough or the preparation of the dough of the challah, but one may take the dough once it's finished and take it over to one who will bake it. That is permitted. So one may not be in the early process, which is where the water is added. Once the water is added, then it's mekabel tuma. If it's mekabel tuma and you make it tamei, you have a problem now of being metamei chulin in Eretz Yisrael. Or being metamei something, we'll see eventually that becomes challah and then you won't be able to be mafrish challah betara. Right, that we'll get to later in our Gemara in a second. But on the other hand, when you take it to the baker to bake, the item's ready to make. He's baking it. You're not having any impact on this. That's not problematic at all. The Avera is already completed, and you're no longer considered to be a Maseil of Avera. Okay, Rashi explains it over here. As an Achtom and a Platter. Rashi in Boba Metzia, I think it's Daf Nun Vav, and Tosus over here brings the other interpretation, which is when I read the Mishnah, that's what I thought it was referring to, is that an Achtom is a wholesaler, and a Platter is a retailer. The wholesaler makes large quantities of bread, and the platar is the one who makes so smaller, takes smaller quantities of bread, and then resells them at smaller quantities. So that's what it means over here. You can't be orech or lash with the wholesaler, he's the one who's baking the bread, but you can't take it from him to the retailer. You're just doing the, it's like taking the barrels away from the gat, that's tamei already. Whatever damage is done already. You can move it to the other place, to the other location, that we don't have any problem with. Now, Rav Huna is going to make a statement, and this statement is going to be problematic because Rav Huna is against our Mishnah, and we have to reconcile it, and that's what the rest of the Gemara is about. I'm Rav Huna, yayin. As soon as the wine begins to flow, it's yayin nesech. It becomes yayin nesech. Where it says, Tanan, our Mishnah. Luchim gat bi'uta min oevich chavim. You can take a pressed gat, you know, a wine press that has stuff pressed in it, you can take it. Even though if he's taking the grapes and placing them into the pile or the mound of grapes with his own hands, if he's no gabbat, so why over there you see that it's totally permissible to bring it in, and it's a pressed area. Now when you press the grapes, guess what happens to the wine when you press the grapes? It begins to flow. So over there the Mishnah is saying no problem, you can buy a pressed wine press where the grapes are in there, and it's not any problem of yayin nesach. So what are you speaking about, Rav Huna? So he answers up, I'm Rav Huna begat pkuka umleya, talking about where it's plugged, where the gat, the wine press has a plug, a cork, or a, you know, the a stopper in the flow out to the bore, right? The cistern that captures the wine. I have a picture, I'll send it out to you. I have a nice picture of a gat with a bore next to it. But you have a channel that runs from the gat. The gat is an area, it's a flat area that. Right, from over Israel, you can go see them. So I have a picture from one of the places in Israel. I can send it to you. I think Shifta is the place. And they have, it's a flat area on top. Now, a flat area is where they press with their feet, or they had some sort of mechanism that stood on top of there. It was made out of wood and metal that pressed the grapes. Now, Rashi claims that it was on a midron. It was on an incline, a downward, you know, a decline, so that the wine would flow. And then there was a hole in the ground. A hole in the ground. That hole used to flow out to a pipe of sorts, a channel, that would take the wine to the bore, to the actual cistern where it's captured, the kli that it was captured in. So what Rav Huna is suggesting over here is our Mishnah is talking about when you buy from the pressed gat, that's when you cork the gat. When you plug the gat, it's not going to flow. The wine doesn't flow out. It just stays in the press because there's no hole for it to go out. So that's no, there's no lima sheikh. It's not flowing. That's why it's not tamei. All right, so the Gemara says, okay, you solved that problem. Next part of our Mishnah. Tashma, Beinu se yayin nesech ad shirid labor. Doesn't become yayin nesech until it flows down to the bore. Well, that's pretty clear. Unless it's in the flowing down to the bore, it's not a yayin nesech. That implies that beforehand it wasn't yayin nesech. So, hachanami begat kukam leya. That's what we're talking about again. Again, a case where it's a press that is plugged, so until you undo the plug, the wine's not flowing. So until you undo the plug, it's not flowing, you're not going to be tamei. So that, again, he answers up our mission. Now he's going to be stuck. The last line of the mission is going to leave him a problem. Tashma, yarad the bor, mashab bor asur, fashar mutar. Here he can't get out of it anymore. It's already flowing, because it's in the bor. If it's in the bor, you can't say it's a plugged wine press, because it's already in the bor. On the other hand, it says vashar mutar, the remainder is mutar, which says that even the stuff that was flowing is mutar. It's only what's in the bor that is problematic. So that's now, that's a big problem. Now we have a kasha for Rav Huna. So Rav Huna answers up, Rav Huna, lo kasha kam be mishnah rishonah, kam be mishnah achronah, and we're going to bring the Brisa that explains this. The Mishnah is mishnah rishonah. I am speaking about mishnah achronah after the position was changed, and that's why there's a stira between us. The Mishnah, en ochanami, I can't reconcile with our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah is following the first opinion, or the first Mishnah. I am the following the second Mishnah, which is the one that's Koveya Lehalacha. Now, before we go on to that, I just want to, there's an important Tosfos over here. It's an interesting Tosfos. Rashi, in saying, what does it mean, Lima Sheikh, for the wine to flow, says that when you press in the gat, this is what Rashi claims, that the wine does not move whatsoever. That when you press in the gat, the wine is totally stationary in the press. It goes absolutely nowhere. And that's why it is considered to be not problematic according to Rav Huna. But if it would move at all, the wine would seem to move in there, then it would be problematic because that's limashich. That means for the wine to flow. Now, based on that, along comes the Rashbam, B'Shem Rashi, and says this, that Nira Metoch Perusho, that from the Perush of Rashi it sounds, Afilu Begata Malitzma, if in the press itself, Pina Chatzinim Elef Elech, he removes all the pits, he moves all the dregs away to the sides, Nishara Yayin Letzarechad, and then the wine all flows to one side, Abihitzka Limashech. Rashi's claim, and he says it explicitly here, that you can't, whatever happens in the gat, is that it's normally on a decline, but here when you're pressing all the grapes there, the wine does not move whatsoever. Implying from that, that if the wine does move whatsoever, even within the gat, that would be Meshicha. And that's what we hear. Rashi, the Rashbam, his grandson, in the name of Rashi, quotes that exactly like that halacha. That's like the Mishnah Achrona Kravuna. They came into Shitchala Meshich. It's problematic. So, im mifanim. So now, Tosis gets into our presses, their presses in their day. And their presses in their day, they used to have these big gigiot, which had big vats or big barrels. I don't know what they were using exactly. They used to press inside of them. Now, if in the gigiot you go ahead and you move the grapes that are in there, the dregs in there from side to side, move them to the side, in order that the wine will be stuck in the middle or go move to the middle. You move the dregs to the side and the wine will be in the middle. You have a problem now. Now, you don't have a problem if you're doing it. You have a problem if a guy is doing it. We have to be careful. That's considered amshacha, according to Rashi. If you move the dregs to the side, you move the pits to the side, and the wine's in the middle, that's amshacha, according to Rashi. Now, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi, his other grandson. The Rashbam is quoting Rashi, the halacha like this from Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam is the Rashbam's brother, and he says no. What does it mean, limashech? This is what I would have thought limashech means. Mashech is when the wine begins to flow from the press into the bore. I mean, it flows into that channel, right? The area of the channel where the wine flows. That's what I mean, limashech. Limashech doesn't mean in the gat itself. It means only once it leaves the gat into the channel going to the bore. That's limashech. So according to that, there would be a big kula. Because based on the Rabbeinu Tam, if you move the stuff around in the gat and the wine moved to one side, or like he was talking about in their time in the gigiot, they moved the items to the side and the wine moved into the middle, it changed. That wouldn't matter. Because limashech is only once it leaves the area where you pressed it. Therefore, if the pipe is plugged, when he says, like over here, when he say pukha, umlaya, means that it can't flow into the channel whatsoever. That's why it's not limashech. Doesn't matter what's happening in the gat, as long as it doesn't go into that channel, you are fine. So based on that, you have a big kula. The Reino Tam over there would say that a goy could do this work in the gat, even if he's moving the wine around, they're moving it to a point where the wine is separated from the dregs or from the pits. That wouldn't be problematic, according to the Rabbeinu Tam. Now, in their day, what would be the channel? Right, they didn't have a channel like we have, but what did they used to put in a barza? They used to put in a cap into the barrel, into the gigiot that they pressed them in order to allow the wine to flow out. So that's what's called limashech. Limashech is when the barza is opened. When you open the tap to let the wine flow out, that's the problem of limashech, according to the Rabbeinu Tam. Not when you push the stuff to the sides and allow the wine to flow towards the middle. So Tosfos here discusses an additional issue, which is the issue that we are afraid that the goy might sometimes dump wine back into the gat. What we're afraid of sometimes is that the goy will take wine from the boar, or the dregs, wine that, or the grapes that came out through the channel, and he has some sort of filter that stops it from going into the boar, then he'll take those grapes and he'll dump them back into the gat, into the press. Now if he does that, it's coming up in the Gemara, it's a Bishab, it's a Gugatni, you take this filter, this basket, and you dump the stuff back in, he causes a problem for the wine in the gat now. Because now you have wine from the boar that he's returning back up to the gat. So it says, why don't we worry about that? Why don't we worry about the fact that when you have a press, number one, our press over here, how come the Mishnah here doesn't worry about the fact that you have to worry about when it's pressed that he's going to return it back to the upper half? And number two is, why in our barrels? Why when we buy from Ovi Kochavim that has pressed in the barrels, how come we don't worry about the fact that maybe he took a cup out of the wine out of there, maybe he took something out of there and he dumped it back in, or he took it for somewhere else and he dumped it in? Why don't we worry about that problem? So the Tosos brings down at first that it is a problem. That we can't buy Gigiot from the Ovi Kochavim, and because of this problem. So now he brings down the Reed. The Reed says, Meyesh Lahakel. There is a reason to be hakel because he wants to distinguish. Lo aser lo begat biutai yafeh. The only time we aser is when it's a well-pressed press. Beish ba yayin harbe, there's tons of wine there. Beolim shochem enu bekal, and it'll flow out easy. Avogiyot shalanu, ein behem yayin kol kach. In our barrels, there's not so much wine in there. The fishim druchot yafeh, they're not pressed so well. We don't worry about him draining it out of there and then returning the wine to the same barrel. Why? Because there's just not enough wine in there to make it a flow, easily flow. We're worried is when it'll easily flow out, he'll let some wine flow out and then he'll return it. But where it's not easily come out, we don't worry about it. The problem is, Rishami makes a demand that you always watch the goy. When the goy is working there, you have to be mashkiach on him. Because if you do see it flow, there's a problem and you have to watch the goy. So therefore he says there was a minhag, the Rabbeinu Huda says that there's tov l'achmir, that there were many people who used to, after they pressed with the gigiot, they used to put a chotem on it. They used to seal it up and put a siman on it to make sure that the goy couldn't take it out and return it to the gigit. Even if he was moshech from it, he couldn't return it out. Even if he turned on the tap and let some wine out of it, he couldn't return it inside the barrel, which would protect him. So he knows that everything that's in the barrel is okay. So that's what they used to do. What they used to do was they'd press inside the barrel, even with the goy. The Jew would have to would watch it. Then they would seal it and put on and put a tap in afterwards. And once the tap in, nothing in the barrel can be problematic. Whatever is true, if he turns on the tap and comes out, there could be a problem. But what's inside the barrel, that's not the right. That is sealed and protected. So now the other thing is, someone who buys wine out of the presses of the Orichavim, make sure there's no tap on it. That's a small type of tap. But if you have a large tap in there, like the mouth of the chavit, that's not called hamshacha. Why? What's the difference between a small tap and a big tap? In a big tap, what comes out? Everything comes out. The dregs and the wine. So that's not called hamshacha, is when the wine flows out of the press and leaves most of the dregs behind. But when you have a big tap or a wide pipe coming out of there, when he drains it out of there, that's not called hamshacha, because that's not wine coming out of there, it's everything coming out of there. So that's derech sham imiyayin. So therefore, that's not problematic. But if there's a small tap in there, we have to worry about the fact that maybe he had hamshacha, he drained some wine out of his barrel and returned it to the barrel. So that's why you have to be careful. And it's talking about, you see them talking, it's so interesting that they were buying these things, they had the goyim doing this. Is it okay? Is it not okay? The Reed says, oh, it's fine because we don't worry about the returning the wine to the barrels only when there's a large amount of wine. Ours have a small amount of wines. There are other Balei Tosfos say, no, we do worry about it. So how do we solve the problem? We seal the barrels to make sure that they can't return the wine to that area. And we have to be careful. When you buy, you can only buy when there's no tap in it. If you buy a barrel of wine from a goy, make sure there's no tap in it. Otherwise, you can't buy it from him. Alright, now the Tanya. What's this Mishnah Rishona, Mishnah Achrona? Berishona Yomrim. Now, but that's just it's an acronym. It's not part of it. Berishona Yomrim. In Butzrim, Im Oivid Kochamim Begat. One may not be Butzer in the Oivim Begat. That's our Mishnah, like our Mishnah. You can't pick with him. Shasur the Grom Tuma Lechulin Sheretz Yisrael. Mishnah is explicit here. The Brayta is explicit. But you can't do it because you're Grom Tuma Lechulin Sheretz Yisrael. Vein Dochim Im Yisrael. One may not press with a Jew. Why? One may not help the Yedevera. Aval, one be midarech im Ovichim Bagat. One may press with Ovichim Bagat, Luchashinon, Rav Huna. We don't worry about Rav Huna's problem of Limashech, because this is the Mishnah Rishona, because the Ovichim Bagat is just a Misayeya, a problem of Misayeya, the Ovre Avera. It actually says, he's not Mitzuveh. If it's not Mitzuveh, then we don't have a problem with Misayeya Avera. So this first Mishnah Rishona, which is the Braita brought here, the first half of the Braita, is exactly like our Mishnah. And you see, the reasons are a problem of Asur Legrom Tumah L'Chulin Sheretz Yisrael, and Asur L'Seyeya Yedei Ovrei Avera. Those are the two problems over here. Both of them apply to a Jew, only one of them applies to a Goy. Afterwards, V'chazur Lomar, then they changed their mind. This is Mishnah Achrona. In Dorchim Avod Kuchavim Begat, one may not press with an Ovrei Kuchavim in the Gat, Shom, the Rav Huna, because of Rav Huna, the problem of Limashech. Once it starts to flow, it's already a problem, so therefore you can't be Dorech with them. Vein Bozrim Yisrael, and you cannot pick with the Yisrael, Shoseya Torotav Bituma. The Choshkein Jain Dorchim, right? Obviously you can't be Dorech with him. Aval, but one may be Bozer Olechim Bagat, one may pick for what they got, Shemutar Legrom Tumah L'Chulim Sheretz Yisrael. One is permitted to create Tumah in Eretz Yisrael. So what do you see over here? Over here, the Mishnah Achrona rejected the whole idea of Tumah L'Chulim Beretz Yisrael. One is permitted to cause Tumah in T'chulim in Eretz Yisrael. So if you're picking the grapes for the Goy, that's not a problem because you're going to bring them to the Gat. We don't worry about that because it's a Tumah issue. On the other hand, when it comes to pressing them, in Dorchim Ovei Chavim Begat because of Rav Huna. You have a problem. If you press with them, you have a problem of Yayin Nesech. Now, but in Botzrim in Yisrael, again, you can't be Botzer Yisrael because he's making his Perotah B'Tumah because that's a problem of what? We don't know. And why can't you be Dorech with the Jew in the Gat? If there's no problem to be Goreim Tuma in Eretz Yisrael, why is there a problem to be Botzer with Israel, and why is there a problem to be Dorech with them? Rashi claims that the problem over here is that you are taking Tevel. This is Tevel. If you're Metame the Tevel, then you're going to force it that the Truma that's going to be removed from here is also going to be Tameh. So you're being Metame Tevel that has Truma embedded in it. And there's a requirement to protect Truma from Tuma. So here, when we're dealing with the Jew, and there's an issue of Truma and Hafresha Trumot, over there we worry about it. So that's what Rashi says the problem is. Tosos brings a different opinion. He says the Rabbeinu Tam over here rejects Rashi because he says we say in other places in Shas there's no problem to be Goreim Tuma to Tevel. And therefore, that can't be the issue over here. So Rabbeinu Tam differentiates and says it depends on whether it's going to be Vadai Tamei or Suffek Tamei. But maybe when something's going to be Suffek Bituma or not done Bituma, over there we let you work with Tevel and so on and so forth and help out because we're just not certain it'll be Tamei. But over here where we know with certainty it's going to become Tamei, over there we won't let you be involved in the process to be Goreim Tuma to things in Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, he brings down, the way in, they bring down the Rabbeinu Yehuda. Says that I found a Ktav Yad Rashi. I found this in somewhere in Rashi's writing that wasn't published. That Avagab Zriyan Hash, the Mutu Yigrom Tumma Lechulim, even though we can be Goyim Tumma Lechulim, Hani Mili Ovi Chavim. That's a non-Jew. Or Yisrael Chavir. Shaloy Yechleim Rakbatu and Bey Tumato. But we eat them when he is Tameh. But Yisrael Russia, Ovir Aveira, Shitsofol Ishtoto Tameh, he's going to drink it, but still Tameh, Bidrichach Talakach, and he's being Dorechlim for that purpose. Hilkach Asur Lesayo, you can't help him over here. Why you can't help him? It's not clear. What's this Russia doing? That's wrong. But he's going to drink it when it's Tameh? That's not necessarily a problem. Maybe that when he is Tameh, he's going to drink it, he's going to cause problems for the Truma. It's not clear what Rashi meant over there that the problem was. Rashi's clear in our Gemara what the problem is that it's a problem of Truma and Tevel, that you can't be Goreim Tuma to Tevel. But in the quote from Rabbi Yehuda, he says you could do it with an Yisrael Chaver because you could trust him that he won't drink it. If he makes it Tameh, he will only drink it his period of time when he's Tameh. But with a Rasha, you can't be so certain of that. In our Rashi over here, it says that the problem is Tevel and Truma. Okay, we'll stop over here. Shabbos.